concerns the church. Concerns the church. And there's three questions that they put on their paper, and here's what the questions are. What is the church's purpose? And then number two, how do we know the church? And then number three, what is a church? I guess they mean by that, what's a true church? Of course, doesn't it make sense if there's a true church that Satan would counterfeit it with a false church? I mean, it just makes common the sense that that he would work that way. The scripture says the devil is transformed into an angel of light. So it says it's no great thing if his ministers, they take the appearance of angels of light too. So you got to realize that. You got to know, beloved, what the Bible says, where it's at, scripture and verse. And it behooves you to do that. I don't want you to believe anything I say unless you check it out first. I do put a Bible first behind everything that I teach. And if someone don't have a Bible verse for something they believe, they ain't got. That's your proof. Here's why I believe this, and here's the purpose for it. There's been things that at one time I never believed them. And then I'd say, well, give me the evidence for it. And then, you know, I'd have certain passages to look up. And what I'd do is I'd say, Lord, if this is true, you show me. Y'all agree? Lord, if this is your word, you show me. And I'd ask, and then I would take the scriptures, and I'd look. And I'd do just like the Bereans did. I'd search the scriptures to see whether it was what? So. Now, there's been some teachings that I've gotten, I thought, man, I don't like that teaching. I don't like that at all. That don't make no sense to me. And then I asked the Lord, and then I looked at the evidence, and guess what happens? Yeah, that's it. That's what it teaches. And if the Bible teaches it, and it's in context of the Scripture, then it behooves you to believe it. Well, let's go ahead and move in it. What is the church's purpose? How do we know the church, and what is a church? Well, if you would, let's turn to Matthew 28. I want to try to move quick on this. This shouldn't be that hard to cover. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Matthew chapter 28. What is the purpose? What is the church's purpose? What is a church supposed to do? Well, I believe that the main purpose of the church is to carry the commission. I think it makes good sense that if you had a gospel that needed spread, that if you had a God's word that needed to be taught, and you have ordinances that needs to be practiced, I think it makes sense that the Lord would establish a place for the purpose of doing those things. In the Old Testament, he had a house, didn't he? They called it the temple, and they offered sacrifices there. They had a place where they came and they offered the sacrifices. It was a teaching place, too. They had that. It was called the temple. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus in Matthew 16 and 18 says, "Thou art Peter." And the idea of that is Petros. There's a play on the words there. Thou art Petros, which means you're a little rock. Then he says, upon this rock, and that's the word Petra, which means a huge rock. He ain't saying the church is built on Simon Peter. He's saying it's being built on this huge rock, which is who? Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of the Lord's churches. Now, the reason why Jesus established the church was for the purpose of carrying forth the commission, as I've already said. And here's what the commission is. Go ye therefore and disciple. The word teach means to make disciples. That's the meaning of it. To make disciples, to teach all nations. We seek to make disciples. I mean, sometimes you got to go back to the... My old football coaches used to be real strong on the fundamentals. They keep the main things the main things. That's the way they always was with regard to sports, but churches need to be the same way. You need to keep the main things. In a church, the purpose of a church is to make disciples. And how do you make disciples? You make disciples by spreading the gospel. If you want to see people saved, you got to spread the gospel message. The power of God to salvation is the gospel message. And what we do with it, we have it. The Bible says we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. And that treasure that we have is the gospel, and we need to share that with other people. If you want to see people saved, you got to share the gospel. If you want to see a church grow, you got to share the gospel. A church can never lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. That should be one of the forefront things that we do. We must do that. And we do that by, we try to spread it every way we can. We work our fields of contact. All of y'all have families, and we work our families. We seek to get the gospel to our families. We have a radio broadcast. We invite people to listen to that. They have an internet ministry. We try everything that we can do in order to get the gospel message out. Because if you want to have a harvest, what do you have to do? If you want to have a harvest, what do you have to do? You got to plant. You got to sow seed. And that's what we're supposed to do. If you want to, I'm not real smart, but I know that if I wanted a whole bunch of tomato plants, I got to plant more than one plant. Isn't that deep? Well, I want to tell you something. We got to plant a lot of tomato plants. We got to sow a lot of seed. And that's part of the commission. That's what churches are supposed to do. Make disciples. That's one of the purposes. That's just not the sole purpose of the church, but it's giving you what the duties of the church is. Why Jesus established it. Now, it makes sense when you think about the church. It carries out this function in local churches. It carries out this function of carrying forth the commission. It does that in the form of a local church setting. We are a local church. That means we're in a town. We're in a city. We have a pastor. We have deacons. And we have this commission. This commission that we are to carry out. It's kind of like the school. We got our forefathers thought that our children should be able to learn how to read, write, and have arithmetic. Right? Plus all the other things that you have to learn in school. So our forefathers established a school system. Aren't you glad he did? If they didn't, I'd have never went. You know, if they didn't make you go, I'd have never went. Think about that. They established that, so look how many people can read now. Look how many people can count like they should now. I mean, we needed a school system. Well, in the school system, it's local schools, isn't it? Everybody got me? It isn't a big universal school. It's local schools. They're in a town. They're in a city. They got a name like Poca, which is probably the greatest school ever. They got a name like, they got Poca right there, and you got all these other schools that go along with it. But there's local schools. There's Buffalo School. There's Hometown School where Debbie works. There's schools all over the place. Those are what kind of schools? Local schools. They have a principal. They have teachers. And what do? They carry out their commission. They carry out their work. Now, I would have liked to have tried this, but it wouldn't have flew because I didn't like going to school. I like playing sports, but I didn't like going to school. I could have went into my mother and said, Mom, I'm not going to church today. I mean, I'm not going to school today because I'm a part of the Universal School of Learning. That wouldn't have flied. She'd have kicked me all the way over across the road. She really would have. I'd have had to go. We realize we're to learn, but in carrying out this educational system, it's done so in local schools. You have to go attend them. Do y'all not agree? You have to go attend the school if you're going to learn there. You have qualified teachers there that can instruct children. That's what Jesus started. When he started the church, that church that Jesus started became known as the Church of Jerusalem. And you read in Acts chapter 1, they must have had a roll book clearance, had to have a roll book, because it says the number of the names that was gathered together was 120. Our church on Sunday morning is bigger than that, isn't it? But they had a roll. They had a roll book, and it had how many on it? It had 120 names. But you know what happened next? In Acts chapter 2, what happened? 3,000 people got saved at one time. So they went from having 120 to 3,120 in one day. And they just kept multiplying on down the line. Just consider that. Isn't that a glorious thing? Isn't that a glorious thing? So they make disciples. And that's what the church focuses on. It's one of the duties the church focuses on. Make disciples. We do that by spreading the gospel. Once a disciple is made, what's next? We baptize them. That's part of the commission. We baptize them. And the word baptism, if you look at it, is a Greek word. It is indeed a Greek word. You look up the word baptism, it'll be it's the Greek word baptizo. But if you interpret it, it means to plunge, to dip, to immerse in water. It means to put you underneath the water and bring you up. That's what it means. You say, well, is that important? It sure is. Because baptism pictures something. You know what it pictures? Death, burial, resurrection. What's that message called? Gospel. Pictures the gospel. You trust the gospel is how you get saved. Baptism don't save you, but baptism pictures what saves you. That's the reason why when we have a baptism, we invite everybody to come in to see it. We encourage the person, we encourage the people to bring all their family members and we'll preach to them. And then they get to see a visible picture of the message that they trusted, death, burial, and resurrection. So they make disciples, and then when the disciple's made, they immerse them. That's the meaning of the word. You can look up about any dictionary you want, and that's what it'll tell you. Matter of fact, what is it they say, Hollis? The primitive way, that's what it says, the primitive way of baptism was by immersion. That's just what they say, and that's what it is. Because it's supposed to picture, and if you want to picture it right, that's why you immerse. You say, it's a lot of aggravation that way. It is, but it's pictured right. It ain't up to you to change the mode of baptism. You know, John the Baptist says he was baptizing in a certain place. You remember what they said about that certain place? They said he was baptizing there because there was much water there. There's much what? Water. You don't need much water to sprinkle. You could do it out of that cup right there. But you need much water to immerse. And that's what they did. It needs to be done right. I think it's offensive to our God for it to be done wrong. Because remember, that is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It must be done right. All God's people see it. All right. So, church's purpose is to carry the mission. Carry the commission. Make disciples. Baptize. What's the third one? Teach them. Teach them. That's what it says in Matthew 28. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Teach them the scriptures. The scriptures are the church is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. Have you ever looked at the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3? He's to be apt to teach. He has to have the ability to teach you. They say, well, he's a pretty good preacher, but ain't much of a teacher. Shouldn't be a preacher if he's not a teacher. That's what a preacher is a teacher. You have to have the ability to teach God's word to God's people. You see, pastors are to feed the flock. And I'm not talking about feeding them hamburgers either. I'm talking about you feed them the scriptures. One of the things that when the Lord saved my soul, I had a tremendous hunger for the scriptures, and I still got it. I love the scripture. I love to hear good godly men preach. I love to read the scriptures. I love to learn the scriptures, and I love to share the scriptures. I love the scriptures. I can't understand anybody that wouldn't love the scriptures. But one of the purposes of the church is to provide a place of teaching for God's people. They need a place that they can come to and be instructed in the Word of God. So not only does the church carry the commission, Not only do they make disciples, but they also administer the ordinances. Doesn't it make sense if he needed this ordinance done that he would establish a church in order to do it? So it's very important that we follow these unctions. What's the next one? Teach them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Teach them. It's a teaching place. Pillar ground of the truth. That's what the church is called. I like to hear teaching from God's Word. I couldn't imagine going somewhere where they didn't teach God's Word. I love God's Word. God does everything through the means of His book. If you want to grow as a Christian, how do you grow as a Christian? Somebody tell me. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may want. Grow thereby. If you want to see people saved, what do you got to do? You got to spread the gospel. That's the Word of God. You got to spread the gospel news. It's all keys off the Scriptures. And, buddy, I tell you what, we need to find the book. And we need to teach the book. I fear that in many cases what churches is turning to do is to try to entertain people. They try to entertain people. They want to entertain people. And that's the route they're taking. Now, you can draw a massive crowd that way. But I want people to come to church because they want to hear the Scriptures. And I wouldn't go to a church that didn't teach the Scriptures. Because everything keys off that. And that's what a pastor teacher is supposed to be for. Okay? Now, we showed what the purpose of the church is: make disciples, immerse them, carry the commission, and teach them God, be a teaching place. Those are the three parts of the commission. That's the commission he gave to, that's what the first church, which was at Jerusalem, that's what they did. After that, the church of Antioch, that's what they did. When you read your Bible, when you read the New Testament, and you look at 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, those were local churches. They were in towns. That's why it calls them by their, they didn't call them by a specific name, but they would say the church at Corinth, or the church at Galatia, or the church at Rome. They all was used with location. You know why that is, don't you? Because it's in an area, in a town. They had people that attended it. Okay? The second purpose of the church, not only is it to carry the commission, but it's to provide an assembly place. Hebrews 10:25 says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. Don't forsake the assembly. God's people need an assembly place. They need a place that they can come to be with other Christians, where they can sing praises to the Lord and where they can learn God's Word. We like to call it a church family. And I like to feel that that's what our church is, a family. A church family that kind of watch after one another. When someone begins to drift, they can encourage somebody, you know, to come back, or encourage somebody that's down. That's what we do. We seek to watch over one another. All of us should be that way. All of us should be that way. We watch over all of everybody. See? Seek to watch over one another. That's why it's good to be part of a church. We need an assembly. If you're going to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, guess what you got to have? You got to have an assembly place. And that's why the Lord established the church. And the church is the place where the sheep gather. They gather. And they hear His Word. And they learn His Word. And they carry out His commission. All God's people see it. All right. Now, how do we know the church? How can you find the Lord's church? I mean, you need to find it. Because on every church, it's a true church. I taught you that when we was going through Revelations, you remember? How in the world did you find it? Well, I found her. I found her in Acts 15. You know Acts 15 has a salvation doctrinal statement of Jerusalem? How many knew that? Raise your right hand. Acts 15 has the salvation doctrinal statement of Jerusalem in it. And I want you to turn there, okay? Acts chapter 15. I'm going to show you how they, when I seek to determine where a church is a true church or not, I look at the doctrinal statement. I want to make sure that what they teach is, and the first thing I look at is the doctrine of salvation, how they teach you're saved. Now you turn to Acts 15, and I'll give you Jerusalem. Now since Jerusalem ended up being the first church, this is going to carry, what I'm giving you right now is going to carry a lot of weight, isn't it? Because the Jerusalem church, their members were the apostles. They were personally trained by Jesus. So what the apostles said carried a lot of weight. They walked with the Lord 3.5 years. So Acts 15. There was a big controversy in the church of Jerusalem. Church of Jerusalem, my beloved, they went from 120. You read about them. You know they had a church roll in Acts 1? It says the number of names gathered together was 120 in Acts chapter 1. 120. And then you know what happened in Acts 2? 3,000 people got saved. So they went from 120 to 3,120 in one day. That's amazing, ain't it? And then you read on over after that, more got saved. And they kept right on growing and growing. So the church of Jerusalem got to have several thousands of people in it. Well, sent them out on the first missionary journey. Now we have the first big controversy in the church of Jerusalem. Y'all remember what it was? You got all these Gentiles getting saved. The Lord was sent Paul and Barnabas. They were presenting the gospel to, they spoke the gospel to the Gentiles. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, he opened up the door to the Gentiles. He did. People just like us. Well, what are we going to do about these Gentiles? Now, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, if you wanted to become a Jewish proselyte, now, you wasn't a first-class citizen. Now, I want you to understand that in the Old Covenant. You're just not Gentiles. You could be a proselyte, but you still was a second-class citizen. Well, here in Acts 15, they come across the same problem. What are we going to do about these Gentiles? All these Gentiles, these Greeks and Romans and people are getting saved. What are we going to do about them? Well, you know what the old school Jews said, don't you? Look at verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 15, verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren that except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, what to say? That's a false gospel. If you want to know what a false gospel is, that's what one looks like. They added circumcision. They said, unless these Gentiles are circumcised, they cannot be saved. In other words, we're going to have to make them Jews for them to be part of the church. Everybody got me? Are y'all still waiting on the doctrinal statement? I got to build up to it. Here's the Church of Jerusalem's doctrinal statement. Verse 5, but there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, and they said it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. So there's another ad, isn't it? And we seek to keep God's law because we love Him. But they made this a condition of salvation. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. You're saved by trusting Christ and that alone. By trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ is the means by which God saves the sinner. He charges to you His righteousness. He charges your sin to Him. All God's people said. Be sure to keep that in mind. All right, now let's notice the Jerusalem doctrinal statement. Now, who stands up now with all the commotions going on? There's probably some arguing going on over this thing. Notice what they say in verse 7. Peter rose up. You think he'd carry a lot of weight? He sure did. He's going to settle this thing. Hey, he's going to settle this thing down right real fast. Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. All right, now how did Simon Peter say people were saved? Hear the word of the gospel and what? And believe. And the word believe means you trust. It means you trust the gospel. What is the gospel? The message that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's exactly what Simon Peter preached. That was the doctrinal statement for salvation for the Jerusalem church too. The first church, that's what they taught. You hear the word of the gospel, and then what do you do with it? You believe it. And you do that, you know what that'll do? It'll save your soul. It'll save your soul. Now you need to remember that because you might need to talk to somebody on a deathbed sometime. Like I do a lot. And they'll say, I'm just afraid that I haven't done enough, Jeff. And I'll say, yep, you ain't. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you needed a Savior. And tell them about Jesus and imputed righteousness and things of that nature. You hear the word of gospel and believe. So that's what they taught for salvation. You hear the word of the gospel and do what? Believe. You ready for the next part? Let's look down at verse 9 now. Here's the next thing Simon Peter said about salvation. Mark these in your Bible. He put no difference between us and them. How did he purify their hearts? That's what it says, isn't it? Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. He purified. Beloved, Scripture says that our hearts are desperately wicked. We like to think ourselves being pretty good, but we need to be cleaned. We need to be purified. And the only way that can happen is by trusting Jesus as your Savior. He purifies your heart by faith. How did that thief on the cross go to heaven? Huh? I think he went by faith, didn't he? I know he didn't go by baptism because he was dying on a cross. He couldn't get baptized, could he? I know he didn't get saved by his works because he had been a thief all these days. What saved that man? Oh, you know what Jesus, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He realized Jesus had a kingdom. He realized Jesus was a king. He realized there's life after this one. And he said, Lord, I want you to remember me. He didn't have a thing to offer. I got that song, Just As I Am, pops in my mind every time I talk about it. Just as I am without one plea. He didn't have a thing in the world to offer. He said, Lord, I want you to remember me when you get there. What did Jesus say to him then? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's what he said. Today thou shalt be with me. Today thou shalt be with me. God, Jesus saved him. What about his sin? Jesus paid for it. What about righteousness? Jesus gave him his. That's the one thing that I find that so many people miss. They're trying to earn heaven by all their righteousness. And I'm trying to tell you, you can't do enough righteousness. And I'm also trying to tell you, there's only been one perfect man, that's Christ. And here's what salvation is. If you don't get nothing out of this message, this is what salvation is. When you trust Jesus, he charges your sin to him. He don't charge half your sin to him. We don't sing the song, Jesus paid it half. We sing, Jesus paid it all. One sin would be sufficient. One sin Larry Eccles unpaid for would be sufficient to send you to hell. Jesus paid it all. And then not only does he pay your sin debt in full, remember what this means? Tetelestia. Paid in full. That's what he did. But he just didn't pay your sin debt. He also imputes. That's what it says in Romans 4. He imputes to you Christ's righteousness. That's why when we looked at Revelations, you remember what everybody had on in heaven? Y'all remember? White robes, which pictured the righteousness of the saints, which is whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. It's the only way you can be on a deathbed and know you're ready to go and not worry. Told you this morning, I've heard this many times, oh, I'm just afraid I ain't done enough. Had a lady tell me that. Had several people tell me that. Afraid I ain't done enough. None of them done enough. That's what I said. I said, ain't nobody's done enough. That's why you need who again? Jesus. That's why you need him. Yes, that's right. It's such a blessing. All right, now let's go on. By my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 9, he purifies the heart by faith. Verse 11. This is the third part of this doctrinal statement. You got the first two statements? Here's the third statement. We believe. All right, now when he says this, he's not just talking about him. He says, we believe. He's telling you what the Church of Jerusalem believe with regard to salvation. We believe that through the, what? Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That means the Gentiles are saved by grace. And that means the Jews are saved by grace. That's what it says. And grace means it's unmerited. It means you don't earn it. See, that's the difference. Now at work, all of us that are born again, we seek to work. We're working. That's why we're called servants. But I'm not working to get saved. I'm already saved. I'm working because I am saved. big difference right there. If you're working to get saved, that's salvation by works. And there is no salvation by works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. There won't be no braggarts in heaven. There won't be no braggarts in heaven. We give all the glory, cast our crowns at whose feet? Thou art worthy, O God, to receive all glory, praise, and honor. I like it. But that's what Jerusalem believed. Purified the heart by faith. Salvation by grace. They preached the right gospel. That was their doctrinal statement. I think you can find the Lord's church by those four marks. Purify the heart by faith. Salvation by grace. Hear the gospel and believe. And they also immersed for baptism. Because that's what baptizo means. Those are four marks. Those are four. Now, you could give more, but I'm just going to use four because they're right here with us. That's four marks of a true church. They preach that your heart is purified by faith. Do you agree? Your heart is purified by faith. Number two, salvation is by grace, not by your deeds. And when you add anything to grace, you lose grace. It's not grace no more. It has to be all by grace because that gives all the glory to the Lord. I had a guy tell me one way, if I believe that way, I'd just go out here and sin all I want to. You would if you're lost. You wouldn't if you're saved. When you're born again, you want to live. You know why I'm living? You want to know why I'm living for Him? Because I love Him. Because He saved me. Because He bestowed upon me His grace and He bestowed upon me His mercy. He opened my old blinded eyes and He drawed me right to Him. I love Him so. I serve Him because I love Him. I'm not serving Him to get saved. I could never do enough to get saved. What He did saved me. All right, so we're looking at the... I'm going to have to stop here in a minute. What is the church's purpose? Was to carry the commission and provide the assembly place. That's what local churches is for. How do we know the church? We know it by this Jerusalem. Here, how do we know that? We know it by this Jerusalem doctrinal statement. If I leave here, I look for a church. I look for a church that has this doctrinal statement. Believe salvation is by grace. It preaches the right gospel. Practices baptism by immersion. I don't know who give anybody the authority to change the mode of baptism anyhow. A sprinkling ain't a baptism. It don't picture the gospel. Who told people to, who said it was okay to change the mode? You can almost read any old time commentary you want to, and it says, the primitive mode of baptism is by immersion. They all admit it. It's really not nothing that can't be denied. Everybody immersed. Who gave them the right to change the mode of it? It doesn't picture the message. Do it right. I think it's offensive to the Lord to do it wrong because in baptism you see the death, burial, and resurrection. You don't picture it the other way. When I went to Bible college, they had a paper like this, and I thought Hollis done lost his mind. It said, what the Bible says about sprinkling for baptism. I said, well, Hollis done broke over. Done lost his mind. And you know what happened when you opened it up? It was blank. And that's the truth. There's nothing that ever says about sprinkling for baptism. It's always the word baptizo, which always means to immerse in water. It pictures a burial. You ever seen anybody get buried? Have you ever buried anybody? Did you walk over and sprinkle? Yeah, did you sprinkle a handful of dirt on their head and say, well, they're buried? No, they're not buried either. They got to be down in the ground to be buried. Yeah. Baptism pictures a burial. So those are marks of His church. What is a church? It's a local assembly. It carries the commission that administers the ordinances, and it teaches God's people. It's a teaching place. That's what it's for. It's in a town or area. When you look in the New Testament, when Paul and Barnabas went out, and Paul and Silas went out, everywhere they went and people were saved, what did they start? They started churches everywhere they went because people need a church after they're born again. Notice Romans was a church. Corinthians was a church. Galatians was a church. Ephesians was a church. All of these were churches. Most of them established by the Apostle Paul because they seen the importance of having them. So once you start a church, what does that church do? It carries the commission. It spreads the gospel, baptizes, teaches, provides that assembly place for that particular town. That's what a church is. Oh, my. Yeah. That's what missionaries, I mean, the church sends out the missionaries to establish churches. And we support missionaries. It goes overseas. They see people saved. What do they start there? They start churches. Then they put pastors there. And that's the way they did it back in the book of Acts. We're just following the same thing. Well, beloved, I hope that answers your question about what is the church's purpose. Carry the commission. How do we know it? We know it by Acts 15's doctrinal statement. It's pretty clear. And the last thing, what is a church? It's a local assembly. All God's people say it. All right, let's all stand.